cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Tebogo Mafodi. I'm rolling. I'm all alone in studio today, my boy. Bulelani couldn't be here due to other circumstances. I mean, you know, as entrepreneurs, usually others would say we become late. I love saying "Hor, we don't get late, we become delayed." And I love saying as well, it's not that we don't pitch, we get disturbed by commitments. At the end of the day, it is the nature of business. But either way, we need to continue with the show today. I mean, if ever you've just tuned in, you are tuned in to 360 Biz. Today we're talking Global Entrepreneurship Network or Global Entrepreneurship Congress or Global Entrepreneurship South Africa. The word or the key, it's actually global entrepreneurship. It's the discussion that we have today, because we know that definitely we are operating in a global space as entrepreneurs. We need to not to have limits as to where we want to operate, whether being in the continent, whether being in the country, whether being in the province. We need to have the power to be able to operate almost anywhere and everywhere. But I'm not alone in studio. I've got amazing guests that we have. They're not new to the show. I mean, these guests are coming back for the second time around. We've got Miss Alice Momwanga, who's the research executive for Sea Africa. And we've got Mr. Charles Sekwalo, who's the founder of Move Me Back, coming all the way from the United Kingdom. You know, I've always said that we are indeed an international show. Today, it's not only that I'm bringing you somebody that comes from outside the country or the continent for that matter. But, you know, it's good for a change that we bring in somebody from outside. I've always been broadcasting in the UK, but we've never had UK people come here. So at least we've got Charles today that is actually coming to visit us on the show. I mean, you know that entrepreneurship, I mean, is the core of every country. I mean, being informed about entrepreneurship is something of a very element and of importance, especially right now. There's a lot of migration that is taking place that is within entrepreneurs that are operating in other countries or even other continents. Entrepreneurship is a powerful driver for economic growth and job creation. I mean, it creates new companies, it creates jobs, it opens up new markets, it actually nourishes skills, and it improves people's capabilities, more than anything, giving solutions to what a particular country needs. But what happens when business visionaries and innovative entrepreneurs are migrating to an environment more welcoming of economic creativity or innovation? Does this happen when communities take much slower adoption to changes in social and economic environment? Leading to this cause is a negative impact to any economy of any country. I'm glad that, like I've said, Hore, we have Alice Momwanga, who has actually done a research around this, who's going to give us more information. But without wasting any time, let me take this opportunity to welcome my guest. Thank you guys for coming in. They usually say ladies first. Should we start with you? Alice, maybe take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do, because maybe we might be having somebody listening that didn't get an opportunity to hear you last time.
Sure, no problem. Hi, Tebogo. Thank you for inviting us again. It's a real privilege and an honor to be here with you again today and to share insights of the research study. My name is Alice Momwanga. I head up research and development at an organization called Sea Africa. Mm-hmm. And we just recently completed hosting the Global Entrepreneurship Congress, as you mentioned. So, yeah, happy to be here and discussing a very important topic, which is migration in Africa and Africans leaving and developing other countries, but also, most importantly, how do we now harness that network?
Alice, what does it mean, though? It's actually my first time hearing of this name. Charles is the most common name that we come across. What does Alesimo mean?
I get that all the time. So Alesimo is a Swahili name.
Okay.
It means a jewel of a crown.
Oh, really? Yeah. So are you a jewel?
I think I am. Am I a jewel, Charles?
Most definitely a jewel.
Charles, how would you know?
I have a good eye.
Oh, okay. No. Oh, okay. No excuses. That is the voice of Charles Sekwane. Charles, take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
All right. Thank you very much, Deborah. I mean, the first thing I have to say is I'm very, very happy to be here in Johannesburg. I love this country. I love the people. I love the way of life. It just makes me so happy to be on the continent. I am actually of Ghanaian heritage. I live in the UK, London, which is where I grew up.
Okay.
But anyway, Charles Sekwane. Currently, I'm co-founder and CEO of Move Me Back. Move Me Back is a global organization. And what we seek to do is to connect the world with opportunities in Africa. We're a members community of talented individuals across the world, both outside of Africa and inside of Africa. And our vision is to drive social and economic development in Africa and do that from a bottom-up perspective. And in 5 to 10 years' time, have really moved macroeconomic indicators and in all the areas that matters, job creation, investment, various different things that will see Africa take its place on an international scale.
Yeah, no, it's very insightful, but are we going to get more into detail in terms of Move Me Back as to what is Move Me Back and what are they on about? But I think maybe let's start with Alisimo. Alisimo, tell us, what is See Africa and what does it do?
Okay, so See Africa is short for Sustainable Entrepreneurship Accelerator.
Oh, I was actually thinking See the Ocean.
Yeah, everybody thinks that, but it kind of is. It's similar to that and See Africa.
Okay.
So it's kind of like an acronym to See Africa. We are here, See Africans.
Oh, okay.
Come do business in Africa. Yeah. So what we do is we do research. We do research in various areas in entrepreneurship, but we also assist businesses to penetrate into African markets through market feasibility studies, market intelligence, and also market penetration through facilitation of with various stakeholders within those. Whichever sector you'd want to get into will assist you with identifying the key stakeholders and assisting you with the process of penetrating your product in there and developing your product. So we have a presence in 11 countries. We are part of the Global Entrepreneurship Network, which has a presence in 41 countries. So I'd like to think that we've got a large presence in Africa and in entrepreneurship and try to be an enabler to stimulate collaboration amongst African entrepreneurs.
Okay. So you said what do you do there?
So we do research.
No, I'm saying you.
Myself. Yeah. I head the research department there.
Oh, okay. Is it a big company? Is it a big team?
So we're a medium-sized team.
Okay.
At the moment, we're growing pretty fast. We've grown pretty fast in the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. So we're still growing.
Okay.
But we have a really awesome team.
Is it?
That supports. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But now, tell me, you said you recently hosted Gen Africa. What does a research company do in hosting an event?
Right. So we were the GEW host. We've been the main GEW host in South Africa for the past 3 years. So that's how...
Somebody might be listening. They don't know what is GEW.
Okay, so Global Entrepreneurship Week is hosted every November.
Okay.
So different countries host GEWs across the world. About 160 countries host GEWs to celebrate entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
So previously, Endeavor was the country host.
Mm-hmm.
See Africa now leading... GW in
partnership. So you guys fired Endeavor?
No, we are partnering with Endeavor.
Okay.
We are partnering with Endeavor to host the GEW in South Africa.
Oh, okay. No, not a problem. And I want to get to the crux is it a research article that you wrote? But maybe before I actually get to that, let me come to Charles. Charles, you a co-founder of Move Me Back.
Mm-hmm.
What is Move Me Back? You touched a bit on some of the focus. Off to what Moving Me Back is about. But I think this time when you answer that, give us the why part. Because I guess most of the time you find with organization, we miss the why part of why we exist in the first place.
Yeah, sure. Of course. I'll start with the why. And the why is very simply, my co-founder and I, we're very passionate about driving social and economic development in Africa.
Okay.
And Move Me Back was our response, our answer to how can we put a vehicle in place that actually looks to solve that over, the midterm. Yeah. Now, a little bit of background on that. My background is, after I graduated from university, I went into the consulting space. So I worked with a number of leading global consulting firms where we would often work on very high profile, you know, top level down initiatives, you know, the World Bank or large corporates, or mm-hmm. working with heads of state to essentially drive change in the world in some shape or form.
Okay.
I left the corporate world maybe four or five years ago mm-hmm. and committed the rest of my life to entrepreneurship.
Okay.
And the one thing that has remained constant is my mission here is to use business as a vehicle to drive positive change in the world.
Mm.
2 years ago, or 2.5 years ago, my co-founder and I said, well, we looked at the work we were doing, which was predominantly Western focused,
mm-hmm.
and thought in terms of the impact we're trying to make, we should be focused on the continent 100%.
Okay.
And so we actually booked a one-way ticket to the continent, and we were in the process of moving back. I'm from Ghana, she's from Nigeria, so we started in West Africa. We had a lot of experience working in Africa anyway, but we started moving around and looking for how we could add value.
Mm-hmm.
Through that process, we recognized that when we speak to people at all levels, whether it's at the very top, whether it's heads of state, whether it's big corporates, whether it's, you know, the small entrepreneur on the street,
mm-hmm.
the biggest challenge for everyone was, or two biggest challenges were access to finance, okay. access to talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and those are
big issues. I'm in business myself. I know we struggle with those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, and it transcends all forms of businesses. Mm-hmm. And even with Move Me Back right now, we work with, you know, the likes of, let's say, an Uber. They have the exact same challenges on the continent.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so. Having been in this environment all of our lives, where we've been looking at solving these problems from a top-down approach.
Okay, you said having been there mm. all your lives. You make it as if you're old.
I'm an old guy.
you don't look old at all.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, I'll take a picture for you to see Charles. I'll actually tweet this picture and even put it on Instagram. He's not even old, but he makes it sound as if he's so old.
Yeah.
How old are you, Charles, and your partner?
Oh, well, that's a secret. There may be people out there who...
No.
But it's all in the cream, you know? And the rituals, 2 times a day.
but you don't know, maybe there's a lucky lady that is listening.
Thinking,
this man with his voice. You know, South Africa is full of beautiful women, right?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen it firsthand. And good-looking men also. I mean, let's be gender neutral here. But.
Yeah. I don't want a good-looking man. No, I can't comment on that. And maybe, you're the one that could answer that one. Do we have good-looking men?
No, definitely. In Africa in general, we have good-looking men.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, it's fine. Okay, continue.
But I'm in my 30s. I'm 30 something. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, it's fine.
But anyways,
Sorry, can I just add a bit?
Yeah.
Maybe females that have issues with,
you know,
this is
sucking for exactly. You know, I mean, I think guys, no, you're right. I think guys, you know, I'm actually daring you. Go to social media right now, and follow Charles. Charles, what's your social media handle?
So my personal is C Sekwalo, CSEKWALOR, and at Move Me Back. Move Me Back.
Okay. So is that Twitter, is that Instagram, or is that across platforms?
It's primarily Twitter. Across platforms, Move Me Back.
Okay.
But Twitter is probably the best place to find me personally.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Okay. Alisema, what's your social media handle?
So I'm not a Twitter person yet.
No,
but I'm on Facebook.
Okay.
And Instagram.
Yeah.
And LinkedIn.
You're beautiful, so you look like the person that will be on Instagram and Facebook.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, so on social media, anywhere, it's just my name, Alisimo Mwanga, nothing fancy.
Okay.
Alisimo Mwanga, Mwanga.
Oh, okay. So as simple as that.
Simple.
No, definitely. If ever you want to join in on the discussion, you can definitely go to www.cliffcentral.com and listen, or you can even download the podcast. It's at Cliff Central app. So you can even follow us on social media. It's at cliffcentral.com with Cliff Central on Facebook, and we at cliffcentral.com as well on Instagram. If you want to follow me, it's at Debohoma40 on Instagram and Twitter, and it's Debohoma40 on Facebook as well. So coming back to you, Alisimo, I mean, can you tell us more about your Africa migration article?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do an article and a research, or you did, you did either or?
So I did a full blown research study,
mm-hmm.
Where I went and I interviewed.
You know, when you say full blown, you know, some of us are thinking, okay,
it's big.
Yeah, no, it's big. Maybe, can you simplify that as far as, I mean, we've got
so,
small businesses that are listening.
I interviewed close to 50 entrepreneurs.
You didn't interview me.
Outside of South Africa.
Okay.
So people operating in the States.
I'm operating in the States. I'm operating in California.
I'm so upset that I didn't meet you then.
Hey, yeah,
I think this network, you see, that's why we need these global entrepreneurship networks so we can actually expand our access to people.
Yeah.
But to be fair, you can't really interview the interviewer.
but you see, I just happen to be so good at what I do, and obviously being an influencer of the entrepreneurship space, obviously in the country. I mean, somebody was sitting there and says, "No, this person has got a huge following, loves to be listened to, is very opinionated about the issues of entrepreneurship. So how about we give him his own show? You know, started off in television." Mm. Came another show on television as well, eventually radio now. So, you know, now obviously one now even writes an article around entrepreneurship. So it has become, you know, one has become really a big voice of entrepreneurship in the country. So it was more by default than, you know. Yeah. So I know definitely if you'd even told me, I'm sure it would have been very opinionated.
No, that would have been great.
Because I know that I'm unhappy with some of the things. I mean, I think last time we had you guys on the show, remember we had the commissioner, and we're tackling some issues that are pressing. I mean, to the country. Because for me, I believe for a country and the economy to change, it relies on us young people. Yeah. And I'm actually glad that I mean in studio today we are young people, and I mean we might be doing our own contribution in our own little corners. But at the end of the day, what we do complements each other.
Absolutely.
That's why as well we need to grow and encourage each other and like see each other as competition.
Yeah, definitely.
So you can go back to telling us about
now that. Now that he has said on air that he was not interviewed, so when I do my next research study and I call Teboho and say, Teboho, I need to interview you, please do not say that you are not available.
No, I'll make time for you. I'm committing on air.
Thank you.
No, can I just jump in? Yesterday I heard you. You asked the commissioner for a commitment. Can I ask for a commitment from you?
Yeah.
For move me back to write an article for us on how you see entrepreneurship in South Africa, which we can share with our community.
No, definitely. Yeah. I'd be honored to do so.
Thank you.
I'd be honored to do so. Because at least, I mean, I'm exposed not only to entrepreneurship in the country, but I mean, in the continent and the world at large. So I'd be honored to.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Ma'am?
Yeah, so. I interviewed a few amazing entrepreneurs that are based in the States and the UK.
Give me an example of you.
Example of the people.
Yeah, so maybe those that we might know of, maybe.
So I don't think it's anyone that you would probably know of, because these are from networks that we got from the States.
Oh, okay.
The organizations based from the States. But we had an entrepreneur.
What organization is that?
There's a whole list of them.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But I can give you an example, a Scholar X. They were here, actually, for the panel discussion. They're based in, I think, I'm not sure if it's Washington, but they've got a social business that assists, it's an app that assists Africans to get access to scholarships and funding and all
that's
of that.
That's nice.
And also spoke to another young man who's a Nigerian, actually, who runs a investment hub business, for example, who invests in African diaspora businesses in the States at the moment. And there are various other entrepreneurs that are interviewed, but like I can't think of them all at the top of my head.
And do you know about the US Africa Diaspora Awards?
Yeah, I actually, there's also one in the UK as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did find that out as I was doing the research study. But I think the most interesting part of the study was that a lot of these people that were in business were young people under the age of 35, and they were mostly operating in the services industry, in the tech industry as well. So that was quite interesting. Also, fine arts and culture. And those are big industries in Africa as well. So it was quite interesting to find that people that are highly educated, that have studied at universities, mostly postgrad degrees, have worked like Charles himself.
You speak well, by the way, as well. You sound very educated.
Wow. Thank you.
At least we're getting all the compliments today.
Maybe, Charles, you can add, is she educated?
Most definitely.
What's your background, though?
So my background is in economics and statistics.
Okay.
So I actually studied through UNISA.
Distance learning?
Yes.
Wow.
So my parents were quite upset because my parents are in the medical field. So
okay.
They didn't understand. Well, my dad didn't understand the
But now, okay, maybe, sorry to deviate a bit.
Yeah.
So now when you were studying that, were you studying that part-time?
I was studying it part-time,
What were you doing?
I was working.
Where?
I was working at an NGO called Highway Community Radio Station.
Okay.
So I was assisting with the youth program and entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. But before that, I worked for the European Union as an intern in Dar es Salaam on food security issues.
Okay.
And elections and all of that. That time during the elections.
Okay, you know, Charles, Anisimo is typically a person that you'd call Chacharach, you know.
Please translate.
Yeah. Chacharach is a South African. It's actually a Kasilingo. That actually means somebody that is forward, somebody that refuses to be limited.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
So I mean, for me, I'm fascinated. You know, about both your stories, by the way. You know, because for me the reason right now I'm highlighting this is because I know there's somebody that is listening and they might be working at caves at any restaurant or petrol station or even a lowest job you know, and they think that's the end of life. You know, so and right now there's a person that was doing distance learning and right now you know, you managed to get the qualification and today you're living out of that. You know, I mean, for me, I'll make an example. You can even Google my stories on the internet. I mean, I dropped out of school, you know, at grade 11, you know, had no opportunity in life and had to go look for a job. You know, I taught myself IT from the comfort of my bedroom. You know, but I mean, got discovered by the former president, got sent to school. I never dreamt of it, you know. So and it may, but for me, I didn't let what I was going through that point in time define, you know, who I wanted to become.
Absolutely.
You know, and let me tell you, from it's a pure rags to riches story, because from that, I mean, I really made a name for myself.
Of course.
Built big business, sold it, and did amazing things, you know. I mean, today, for a person that went to a black primary school, to a black high school, English was not, I couldn't even construct a sentence in English. Should I get paid to speak? You know, I've got platforms that people that went to good schools and, you know, whatsoever, and you're competing with them. And, you know, I'm glad to say I kicked their butts, you know.
Awesome.
So it says that sometimes in life, we're the one that set limits for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know,
indeed.
So it's just a question of removing those limits and actually going out there. You know, I mean, for Anisimo to actually have been done distance learning, you know, now I mean, it's in a job. I mean, I did the same. I'd like to hear your story as well. So how did you move from Ghana to the UK? I know you have a story of your own as well, you know.
Yeah.
So, but at the end of the day, it's for us as well, guys, to encourage somebody that is listening out there so that they see that there's hope after all, you know. And I can tell you now, Alison, in you doing all of those things, like you say, your parents were angry.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that sometimes even to some of your peers, it was as if you're crazy.
Yes.
You know?
Many times.
I mean, they call me crazy. They call me, you know, names and whatever. And but I was trying to discover, I was trying to find me.
Absolutely.
You know, so what is your story, Charles?
Yeah, so my story, I think my story begins with my parents. I was actually born in the UK.
Okay.
But, you know, the same stories that I've heard from yourself and Alissimo, you know, those are the sorts of stories that my parents went through, right? So, you know, my mom and my father, they moved to, I think they met in the UK, but they both moved independently in the 50s and the 60s.
Okay.
You know, my dad went with Ghana Airways. He was a... He worked in baggage.
There's a lot of Ghanaians, by the way, in the UK. I was shocked.
There is Ghanaians and Nigerians.
Yeah.
But, my mother, she moved to train as a nurse. So she came from a family where it was they took a lot of pride in supporting and helping people through healthcare.
Mm.
Yeah. So she became, I think she lost her sister through an an eye infection. And so she dedicated her life to becoming an eye nurse. She moved to the UK and she trained. And then they had us and, you know, we had a very humble existence. But one thing I will always credit my parents for is the very little we had, especially in the UK. It's a very tough place to grow up as a black person in the time that I was growing up, very in a predominantly white community. But the very little we had, you know, we always took a lot of pride in. And there was always something they instilled in us, which meant that we had a real sense of belief in whatever we were doing. And that is something that's carried me through throughout. And so, you know, started from very humble beginnings, but rose through. You know, went to one of the best universities globally, Imperial College for Engineering, and then moved into the corporate sector. Prior to that, I mean, I'll quickly mention that I actually set up my first business when I was 14, one of West London's first computer repair companies, which, you know, at the time was pretty much unheard of in my community. But the entrepreneurship was always part of it was in my bones.
And you know, Charles, we can't be apologetic about that. I'd like to think, Alissimo, we working as well so that our kids become the better version of Charles tomorrow. You know, go to school, good schools, and do this. Give them what we didn't have. You know, so and for me, I think I'll throw this in because I think it has a lot to do with our discussion today being global entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurs are people that need to be able to think global, need to be think beyond their limits. You know, for me, I love the mix that we have. I mean, of which with you guys deal with a lot of entrepreneurs across different platforms. Alissa, I'm sure you'd agree to say South African entrepreneurs don't travel. You know, South African entrepreneurs, Charles, don't even get out of town. You know, I mean, they're from Joburg. You'd go to school in Joburg, work in Joburg, marry in Joburg, die in Joburg, you know, work in, you know, it's even worse to go to another town, even worse changing province, you know. So for me, I mean, I'll make an example. I mean, last year we started, you know, a company in California. I mean, right now we're busy negotiations with UK. I mean, our UK commissioner is busy, you know, sorting out the groundwork for us to actually be. I'm part of a campaign called Global South Africans. South Africans that are doing amazing things, you know, out there. So to other people, it's as if I was crazy. You know, for me, even, I mean, in this show, I started traveling, started broadcasting the show in other countries, you know, and even if you can look at our numbers, I mean, we've got some major support in UK, we've got some major support in the US, you know, that it says, and to other people, as dude, I mean, you've never even had somebody run a business in your family, dude. They've been broke, you know. So, and you decide to leave a job and start a business, you know. Now, even worse, you start a business in another province. Now, you even go into another country. So, you see the amount of limits that that we put on ourselves. So why, Alissimo, do you think as South Africans we're putting so much limits to ourselves though?
Look, it's a structural issue, you know. It's a problem that we've been facing since, you know, after apartheid. So I can't blame the people and say it's their fault, because they haven't really been exposed as much as other African countries have, because they're naturally nomadic. So they do move a lot. I tend to disagree with that as well in a slight sense, because, you know, during the times of apartheid, you found a lot of people going out on exile.
Yes, on exile, you know? Yes.
So it's so weird how that changed all of a sudden post-apartheid, where I don't know if it was a fear thing. But again, South Africa's kind of self-sufficient. You know, so you'll find in the States as well, people don't
prefer
travel
being in the comfort zone.
People in the States don't travel either. They stay hardly. Some people in the States don't even fly to other parts of the States. So, I think that it's our duty as the younger generation and the ones below us, especially with my brothers. I constantly encourage them to get out of their comfort zone, to participate in global conversations. I mean, I got my brother to actually work at the Congress as well, to have him see. And I know a lot of my friends also ask me, can my sibling work there so that they can see what is out there? I'm getting involved in global community conversations. Being a part of global community conversations is a start. But how are they going to hear about those things? We don't tell them these things. You will know about something that's happening, for example, in the States, maybe with World Economic Forum, for example, if you're a global shaper, how many of those people have you taken through from the communities to actually go to Switzerland or go to another part of the world to be part of that conversation? We like to keep information to ourselves. That's the problem.
That is actually true. Then coming to you, Charles, I mean, with you, it's a different case. Like I was saying, UK is full of Nigerians and Ghanaians. I was shocked to get there, you know. It was like I was in Africa, outside Africa, you know.
Little Africa.
And let me tell you, when I come, I usually come, I become in the financial capital. So now I'm into actually go a bit out. And you've got Africans and Ghanaians doing amazing. I've got guys that are venture capitalists there, you know, that are, you know, that are actually sitting in that position of influence in the UK. So I've realized to say with you guys, now being you, I'm referring to you being Nigerians, Ghanaian, and other African countries. I mean, your parents left in the 50s and whatsoever, you know. With you guys, I've realized you guys don't fear. Booking one-way ticket to go there, I'll see how I survive there, and you make it work, you know. So I mean, let's have that conversation. I mean, I'm not being tribalist or anything like that, but for me, I think we can learn from each other, you know. So to say, for me, that's what I did as well. I mean, people were shocked to say, you don't even know people there. I said, by the time I come back, I'll be knowing relevant people. And let me tell you, I got there, I made noise that I'm in the country, you know, and I knew relevant people, you know. They're part of my networks today, and my network is growing. Tomorrow when I'm in the UK, dude, I'm going to call you, you know. So, and you're going to do the same when you come this side. Absolutely. You know, it's the that thing. But why do you think you guys think different or don't fear booking that one-way ticket to actually go out there and make things happen?
It's a really interesting comparison. And I'd love to at some point dig deeper and try and understand maybe the cultural differences that exist. But I think, you know, maybe Alissimo touched on something earlier. If you look at the US, for example, proportionally, there are very few people who actually travel outside of the US. And maybe it's something to do with, if you take South Africa, South Africa actually being in the context of Africa, a very, you know, well-developed and established region, right? And so when people perhaps look further afield, they feel that, well, actually there's perhaps, comparatively speaking, there's not as much for me to gain by traveling elsewhere. I'm sure there are other reasons. But I think when you look at the diaspora and those who made the journeys to the UK, to the US back in those years, I think it was very much out of necessity. They were looking for opportunity. They were looking for ways, and this is the interesting piece around the work that we do now. Many people make that move with a view to, I'm going back in 5 years, 10 years, I'm going to earn some quick money, I'm going to learn some quick skills and go back and give to my community. In reality, it doesn't happen like that, right? My parents are still saying that they're moving back and they're still there, right? Complaining about the weather and all sorts. It's actually, for many, they find it very challenging when they go to these regions. But I think it's very much driven by necessity. But also when I look at even Nigerians versus Ghanaians, I think Nigerians are far more enterprising than Ghanaians, you know. And there's just that natural... Alissimo is representing all African states here. But there's this sort of natural hustle. And you see it. You see it in the workplace. You see it with entrepreneurship. Even when you land in Accra versus Lagos, from the way the taxi drivers try to get your business, you see that difference. So, but there's something in this. I think... when I look at our business, I look at my co-founder's Nigerian, I'm Ghanaian. We bring very different dynamics to our business. We are almost like chalk and cheese in our approach to things. But it's, you know, it's the marriage of those two things, actually. And similarly, the marriage of those different cultures within the continent that will really, you know, give us an opportunity to be great. And on that note, we need to be driving more for intracontinental work, intracontinental trade between, you know, how does Ghana link up with South Africa? How does Nigeria link up with South Africa?
That's true.
You know, intracontinental trade at the moment is 12%. Versus somewhere like Europe where it's 60%. You know, we need to do more within our continent. Reduce the barriers between working and moving and work with each other.
That is actually true. One thing that I've always emphasized on is that we don't trade with each other as Africans, you know. I mean, we're trading in isolation. So it's something that I definitely encourage, that we definitely you know, need to do. So, and I mean, Alessimo, you have had some good insights as far as your research is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe let me start with, where was this research, you know, published, though?
So we haven't published it yet.
Okay.
We should be publishing it soon because we were getting feedback from different stakeholders with regards to it.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be finalizing it very, very, very soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I read somewhere on your research, it says the African continent has lost close to 652 billion.
Yes.
Per annum.
Mm.
And you're estimating that in 2050... we stand a chance of losing about 1.5 trillion through
yes.
African entrepreneurs operating outside the continent. Can you give us more insight?
So, looking at the entrepreneurs that were interviewed, the average annual profit generated is about $75,000, which is close to R1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, using a econometric model, we were able to calculate what that would mean if you hypothetically say, based on the sample, if other entrepreneurs, other migrants or diaspora were to be entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
this would be the average annual income that they generate, average, because
okay.
obviously we're looking at an annual revenue between $60,000 and $100,000+,
okay.
so mm-hmm. an average came to 75.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we could get the calculation that about 652 billion
mm-hmm.
Is lost to African diaspora network.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see a lot of research studies also indicating that with brain drain and et cetera. But not a lot of focus is on if, you know, an African business was to start operating in the States, for example, how does this affect, you know, the country where they're from,
mm-hmm.
from an economic perspective and from mm-hmm. a social perspective. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're operating outside, the profits generated there stays in that country. It does
mm-hmm.
not come back to government.
Yeah.
And then government has spent, and for example, if it's a situation where it's a Charles who left after he was 17 to go study in the States,
mm-hmm.
government has spent money on Charles
to go
to school.
The, yeah. But now Charles works there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now he doesn't, or for example, maybe an enterprise development fund was given to somebody to develop their product.
Mm-hmm.
And then Silicon Valley says, hey, we like you. Come
mm-hmm.
this side.
Mm-hmm.
We are willing
I know because I've got an office in Silicon
exactly.
Valley. Silicon Valley is hungry for projects
exactly.
and opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are sitting there with big fat paychecks,
you
know, to actually
mm-hmm.
back them up.
But then that's a loss to government and
mm-hmm.
a loss to private sector. If you're investing millions
mm-hmm.
into developing businesses and developing this pipeline
mm-hmm.
for the supply chain development,
mm-hmm.
and they get
but
exposed.
But now in your research, though, Alessimo,
mm-hmm.
are you giving solutions as well, or are you just
yeah.
giving problems?
No,
you're just identifying
I'm
problems,
not a problem
isn't
person.
It? Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
No. I obviously had to find the facts before you provide solutions.
Okay.
So a few of my recommendations were that obviously
you gave recommendation, girl. This guy gives recommendation. Okay, no, sorry David, to disturb you.
So one of the recommendations was because obviously within the chapters
mm.
I looked into the business environment in Nigeria and South Africa and Kenya and the ecosystem and what
mm.
they, because I can see, so right now there's not a lot of studies available that even gives us an idea of what
mm.
the ecosystem looks like in Kenya.
I was actually about to come to that
exactly.
to say, I mean, the research data
yeah.
you know, and migration patterns
yeah.
it's non-existent.
None.
So why should we take yours as the, because right now,
so,
for me, the reason I ask that
yeah.
is that, I mean, I'm a global speaker.
Mm.
So I don't want to be getting on stage and be quoting your numbers
mm.
and they say, what's your source?
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
And I quote Alessimo and they go, who the heck is that?
Mm-hmm.
And what?
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah.
In any case, this is an exploratory study.
Okay.
It's not a study that we are saying that this is it and this is what the data says.
Mm.
There is no actual data with regards to migration patterns of
okay.
African entrepreneurs that
mm.
migrate.
You
but
start
there
one.
Is data, yes.
Okay.
A sample one.
Okay.
We do hope to extend it to a more quantitative study
mm.
where we can collect more data.
Okay.
But that takes a lot of investment to do that
mm.
as well because
mm.
you have to source these.
Okay, samples. Who is financing the research now for you?
So
to
the
do
partners
it?
For GEC, the Global Entrepreneurship
okay.
Congress partners.
How much does it cost to do such a study, though?
It's quite expensive.
Yeah?
It's quite expensive.
Okay. So you can't give me the numbers. It's all right. Okay. I tried, guys.
No, the thing is, this is on a much smaller scale. So obviously, if you're going to travel to those places to interview people, if it's a face-to-face interview, if you're trying to source data, you also have to sometimes purchase it. So it depends. There's no fixed price. So I had to make use of what I had with the funds available allocated to the research study, because this is part of one of the objectives for GEC, was to have two research projects. One was ecosystem mapping, which was done and presented as well at GEC, and this one as well.
Okay. So, yeah. Charles, I mean, through the development of Move Me Back community, I mean, your organization, I was reading some of that, is enabling and empowering talented individuals to shape and accelerate Africa's social and economic development. How has this been done?
I mean, you slowly start to realize after being involved in various different businesses that people are the driver of all forms of growth.
Okay.
Yeah. And part of what Move Me Back sets to do is to make sure that the right people are in the right place to do things which are going to drive growth in Africa.
Okay.
Yeah. And you look at Elisima's study, you look at some of the other figures around Africa's best talent, and the challenge that we face, an increasing challenge we face, is that some of our best talents are leaving the continent and going elsewhere, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, you take my country, Ghana, where it's reported that 50% of our tertiary skilled are actually outside of Ghana, right?
True.
So how do we build the next generation of businesses? How do we solve the next generation of problems if these people are not engaged in these problems, right? So Move Me Back's role is to actually gather all of these individuals, all of this talent which exists in Africa and outside of Africa, and focus them on the opportunities that will drive social and economic development, right? So things like dealing with 90% of the unmet energy demand that exists across Africa, or the 95% or 85%, I can't remember the exact figure, but it's high, of unbanked, people who don't have formal jobs, etc. Creation of jobs, there's opportunity for 70 million or so formal jobs in Africa over the next 10 years or so. Who are going to be creating those jobs? Who are going to be fulfilling those jobs? And these are all the things that drive growth. So Move Me Back is connecting that talent. It's focusing that talent on the opportunities.
Okay. So what was your part in the 2017 Global Entrepreneurship Congress?
So I actually came here to join Elisima on this panel, where she presented the research.
I was not invited. I was not even on the panel. No, comrade. This thing needs to be reviewed.
I wish I met you, Teboho, a couple of months back. It would have been nice. Because saying that you met some of the people that, last night from, within your network, and that means then we obviously have the same networks.
So no, we do.
I'm pretty surprised.
I was shocked that, most of the people, that were at the launch. I mean, it's people that I knew.
But I did ask people within the network, like, do you know? So I didn't just pick people from the air. I asked people.
Yeah.
If you know people that are operating outside, please kindly refer them to me. This is a study that I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I got a few responses from people and worked with that. And then it was a referral thing. Like, for example, if Charles, because I met Charles in Nairobi last year.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it would be, oh, hi, Charles. It's through my networks that I've met. That Charles, for example, will assist me with networks that he knows because I'm doing this. And he's helped me with a lot of things and to access data or to assist with, planning of projects that I've got for GEC. So I work with the networks that I have, like you say. So unfortunately, I would have loved to have met you a couple of months ago.
No, but you met me now. I think it's never late. God is always on time.
Yeah.
So Charles, you're also Managing Director of Cost Ventures.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so CEO's Ventures, it sort of sits in the background. But I mentioned earlier when I left the corporate world along with my co-founder, our view was, how can we use business, how can we drive business or engage it to drive positive change? And Serious Ventures is almost our holding company, our brand for doing various things. So through that, we invest in businesses which we believe are driving change in some shape or form, and we build businesses. So Move Me Back is part of the COS Ventures family.
Okay.
It is a vehicle which is enabling growth in various regions.
Okay. So then, I mean, Elisima, tell me, I mean, since we've had the Global Entrepreneurship Week, What were the part of the discussions that were at the Congress this year?
So there were quite a few discussions. I mean, we had almost 40 sessions happening.
At the same time?
No, in 2 days. Oh, so there were 20 sessions per day. But I know one of the sessions that were held throughout the day, for example, was the ministerial session where different ministers from different countries and world organizations were there to discuss, you know, bottlenecks that we face in Africa and generally globally and how to find solutions to that. And Honorable Lindiwe Zulu actually reported back yesterday with regards to, you know, the usual bottlenecks that we face and commitment towards ensuring that, especially within Africa, that we try and address the barriers that we have with accessing markets within the region. So, I mean, obviously, it's a start to everything. There's a start. I think going forward, obviously, there'll be a more focused outlook in terms of what is the short-term goals, medium-term goals, long-term goals. That's how it should be in any case.
So now C, let me get this. So C was responsible for GEC only in South Africa?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So it's hosted in different countries every year. Mm-hmm. So last year it was in Colombia.
Okay.
This year it was in Johannesburg. Next year it's going to be in Turkey. So all GEW hosts, people that host the GEW, they bid to host GEC in their countries to bring the 170.
Oh, so you guys bid it?
Yes.
Guys, you know, I mean, sorry, Charles, we just lost the Olympic bid.
After we've
spent a lot of money.
Yes.
So for which year? 2018.
Yeah, 2018.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So where's it going?
So it's going. Okay, there's a country that I know. I just forgot the name.
Asia.
It was secondary to actually take
sure.
No, it's not Asia though.
No, wasn't it? It wasn't in Europe, was it? I can't remember.
Yeah. So yeah, but anyway, you can't remind us of that. We're still traumatized with that and recovering as a country. So please. So now, I mean, you guys, did you guys take on this bid alone, or you went with Endeavor South Africa?
No, so we bidded for it as C-Africa. Mm. Obviously, we had partners that were supporting.
What does it involve, though, in bidding, the bidding process?
It involves getting partners involved to support and commit to, obviously.
So it's letters of intent, agreements?
Yeah, it's just letters of support and commitment to hosting the GEC. And obviously, it's information about the country itself and, you know, why. It's kind of like, why should it be hosted in South Africa, for example? So, obviously, Africa was...
I'd love to know why.
Obviously, Africa is the next best place to host it. Yeah. It's been hosted in Europe. It's been hosted in Asia. Mm. It's been hosted in the States. It's never been hosted in Africa. I don't think if it was hosted in Africa earlier, we would have been as prepared as now for it. So, it's a good thing that there was that delay for us to also learn and see. And another thing is that the importance of hosting it here is to also increase the African presence at these conferences globally.
That's true. Yeah.
We haven't had a large presence of African delegates at GEC, and I think now that, because obviously there was no awareness of it, so I think now going forward, now that everybody knows about it, you'll see more people actually participating in GEC.
No, it's true. And Charles, you know, we're not big headed by the fact that we're the gateway to Africa, you know. we're not big headed about that. But I think more than anything, I think you guys have been doing a splendid job in terms of what you've been doing, both, I mean, in UK and you guys, Alisima, in South Africa. But now, one thing that I always say, business without a succession plan, it's no business at all. I mean, for me, I would like to know from both of you as to, you guys are executives in your own rights, you know, before companies that you represent. You know, with you, Charles, it's different. It's your company, so you've got influence. Mm-hmm. You're an executive. Mm-hmm. So, but at the end of the day, who are you empowering, or who are you transferring the skills to?
Mm-hmm.
Are you mentoring someone to actually follow in your footsteps or to actually, you know, be the next Alisima or the better Alisima? For me, I mean, I know I've mentored. I could point out millionaires that would tell you to say, this guy made me, you know? And for me, I don't say I made people, but I say God did. I was just a vessel to, you know, to impart somebody as well. I mean, I met, you know, changed my life forever because they believed in me. Yeah.
So, you know, funny enough, I'm still looking for a mentor, actually. Okay. I don't have one. And I'd really actually like to have one because I think that's going to take me to the next level. So I also need to learn from somebody. But yes, there are a lot of young people that look up to me all the time. I go to events all across South Africa and I'll find young people always coming up to me and saying, oh my gosh, what did you study? You're so amazing. And just having the time to have a conversation with a young person. I've worked on a lot of projects even in rural places in South Africa. And seeing those, you know, amazing kids from disadvantaged backgrounds coming up with amazing business ideas, you know. So, no, I can't say that I have a particular person that I've mentored and they've become successful, but I have got... there are young people that will come to me for advice and I give them guidance. If I find something that I know that they would be best placed to support or someone supporting their business for whatever reason, I'll definitely recommend them.
Okay.
But I don't know if I'm qualified yet to be anybody's mentor when I myself I'm trying. I have not arrived, so I can't say.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Still hope. Married, single?
Single.
Looking happily?
No, not looking. Okay, not at all.
Sorry, brothers. Not looking, but you can try your luck, you know. That DM works.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, I was watching you know, we've got Charles, South African, what is it, OPW show. What's the name
Our
of the show?
Wedding.
Our Perfect Wedding. this couple, they actually met us on Facebook. The lady responded to a DM and they were getting married. So I never know. Guys, I must respond to these DMs.
Globalization is in full force.
It definitely is. Yeah. So anybody that you're mentoring, Charles?
So I do a lot of mentorship. So on one hand, you could say from when I was in the corporate world, there are a lot of people, I guess, who are trying to reach certain stages or get into certain organizations or even just try to understand the path that I've been through. So, for example, in the UK, I work with a number of groups. There's the Powerless Foundation, which takes 60 or 70 of the brightest black people in at university level and mentor them and try to get them to the topmost levels of influence and leadership in various other organizations that I've been involved in. But for me, it's a two-way process. Firstly, I will say that if there's anyone out there that needs a mentor, Alissimo is a perfect candidate. From what I've seen her achieve over the last few months, and particularly this week, I think she probably underestimates herself and underestimates the access that she has.
When are you having coffee with me?
You must tell them on air now when you would like to have coffee. I'm free anytime for you, Debo.
As it.
Anytime. Okay.
So anyway, you're gonna finish with your traveling.
Yes, I'm done for a month. Like April, I'm around Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. May, that's when I start traveling again. But I'm around in
April. How often do you travel, though? Because I think between your travel and my travel and our travel, you know.
I know this thing with these young generations, and it's a good thing. I like it. I travel quite a lot.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie, I do travel. I'm fortunate to travel quite a lot. So I can't say how often, because I can be told next week that you need to go to Malaysia, and I must pack and go. I do spend a lot of time in Johannesburg and mostly around South Africa.
Okay.
But you have my number, Debogo. You should text me. Coffee.
I can't believe Alissimo just exposed me that I've got her number. Yeah, I do. I'm going to WhatsApp you. I'm going to take you out and we're going to talk. In a month or two, I'm coming to UK. Which part of UK are you based?
In London.
Oh, okay.
In London, I mean, I spend a lot of time on the road, so probably in the UK 4 or 5 months out of the year. The rest of the time between the US, Europe, Asia, the continent. Again, gathering.
Guys, why don't I have your jobs? You know, for me, I love that. But I've realized, I mean, I'll make an example. I run a company that employs plus minus 170 people.
Sure.
So I'd love to be traveling as much as I can. I mean, 6 months of last year I spent traveling. So the last 3 months, I mean, I had to even cut my trip short to come back towards the end of December. Mm. And let me tell you, coming back, I've been turning off fires. And I had to let go of people as well. Because, In fact, I never thought... I think it took me to go this time to realize my team is not as strong as I thought it was.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so for me, because that's why for me, I really need... somebody, a successor. I think maybe I need to employ a CEO of some kind to actually run the show. Why? Because I want to be, I'm in a point where I want to work on my business, not work for my business.
That's important.
You know?
Yeah.
So for me, I think that the world is still waiting for me to conquer it out there. So how am I going to do it while I'm busy, you know? So it's one of those things. But now, where to from here, Alissimo?
I don't know. I'd be lying if I said I did. Look, we've just launched GEC Africa. You were at the launch yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm just taking in the whole after effects of what we just achieved.
Okay.
So the sky's the limit, I feel, from here. Mm-hmm. I look forward to what the next coming weeks have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm available for any conversations.
But, okay. Yeah. So now for people that are listening that want to be updated on the journey or on what's next, where can they follow the information?
With regards to GEC Africa?
Yeah, GEC Africa.
So they could go and follow...
It could be GEC or it could even be C, you know?
Well, C is not on social media, but you can follow all updates on GEN South Africa, GEN South Africa, on Facebook and on Twitter, and also the website, www.gew.co. /ZA.
Okay. Then C, is it an NPO? Is it a private company?
No, it's a private company.
Oh, is it?
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
No, I understand. Black owned?
Black owned, yes.
No, 100%.
100%.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. No, let's make sure.
100%.
Charles, where to from here, my brother?
All right. So there's so much happening this year, and it's an exciting year for us. But I think. At the topmost level, we believe that Africans all over the globe need to be connected with each other.
Okay.
The world needs to know that Africa is open for business.
Mm.
Individuals need to know that there are huge opportunities here on the continent. That is how we attract the right people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we keep the right people. And that's how we build the next generation of our economies.
Mm-hmm.
And Move Me Back is looking to do that. Right.
Okay.
So we're already playing a very significant role in certain niches.
Mm.
But we're creating Move Me Back as the platform that connects Africans wherever they are to each other, to opportunities on the ground, and that's the agenda, and that's what we're super focused on for the next however long it takes.
Okay. Contact details or to follow Move Me Back?
So you can reach us on most social platforms at Move Me Back, MoveMeBack. Go to our website, movemeback.com.
Yeah, no, definitely. But more than anything, let me take this opportunity to thank you guys for your time.
Mm-hmm.
It was really great having you and the discussion that we have. We usually close off the show in style by giving a word of 30-second inspiration to somebody that is listening.
Charles goes first.
Okay, Charles.
Oh, wow. I thought it was ladies first. But anyway, the first thing I would say is what I've learned through my short time on this planet is that... life's about the journey, not necessarily the destination. Yeah.
Mm.
I think one thing that holds us all back in our lives is the emotion of fear. Fear is probably one of the most useless emotions. And I encourage everyone, whenever you feel fear, push through it. Because there'll be others who have gone through what you've gone through, who have had the same emotions as you.
Mm-hmm.
There's support out there. People want to help. So when you feel fear, push through it. And believe in yourself. There's... much things that you can achieve out there.
For me, it's just really simple. Just always push through the challenges. Never feel intimidated by things that surround you. Always believe in yourself and know that whatever you believe is possible is possible. And you don't have to let anyone tell you that you can't do something to do it.
No, definitely. Whatever you believe, it's possible. Mm-hmm. This is all that we had for you today on 360 Biz. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz with myself, Deborah Mafodi, and Bulelani with other amazing entrepreneurs. I'm out. CliffCentral.com.